Before we get started, just a thought. I was talking with my wife yesterday about when we were young believers. And she asked a really good question that I think a lot of young believers ask themselves. Young believers who are honest before God, who love God, albeit they may walk in ignorance, but they walk in love. And they walk in the Spirit to the capacity that they have. It is not possible to walk in the Spirit for a young believer beyond, of course, his capacity. And a young believer's capacity is usually very small. But not small for the love of God. But rather small for the things of God. And she said when she was a young believer, she would ask herself, how do you not walk in the flesh? How do you not walk after the Adamic fallen nature? Because we all go there, and that's where we start our Christian life. There is no difference between an unbeliever and a believer in that regard when they are young as a believer, except for salvation. But our experience is the same, and frequently, unfortunately, the experience is the same for the believer who's been walking with God, who's been a believer for a long time, than it is as it is for the world. See, the world says, be moral. And although there is immorality promoted in the world, nevertheless, the world knows it is better to be moral than to not be moral. And believers frequently say, be moral. The world says, obey the laws. They are good. The believer frequently says, obey the laws. They are good. The world says, do things properly. Work hard. Take care of your family. And believers will frequently say, do things properly. Work hard. Take care of your family. And in this regard, there is often very little difference between the world and the believer. Because the believer has not yet learned how to not walk in the old man. A lot of believers are taught and believe that they should walk at the good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Do right, be right, do your best, take care of things, be responsible. And certainly there is nothing wrong with those things, of course not. We ought to do right, be right, take care of things, be responsible. But from what source? You see, at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, there is a good side. It is the religious side, as I like to say. There is religion and then there is a walk with God. Religion is what Cain tried. A walk with God is what was acceptable to God when Abel brought it. Religion says, be pleasing to God by obeying the Ten Commandments. God says, The law was given that every mouth might be shut. In Galatians, Paul called the Galatians foolish after having been saved by grace. They tried to keep it in the law. The Word of God says that the law is the strength of sin. Now, the believer, because he doesn't often know how to walk in the Spirit of God and not in the old fallen nature, will try to control his old fallen nature with the law. Not realizing but that by walking in the law, the very thing that that believer is doing is strengthening that old fallen nature because the strength of sin is in the law. So how do I walk as a believer experiencing victory, experiencing the life of God, and yet not in a way that I'm working it up where I'm trying to present a good Christian front, but on the inside I'm starved and I'm empty and I'm hurting and I'm frustrated because it's really not working for me, but as a Christian in my good religious education I know that it ought to be. And so I keep plugging away and I keep plugging away and I keep plugging away, but I can't seem to get an inward victory to match my outward pretense. And that's really all it is when I go there, is a pretense. God sees the heart. God sees that I'm struggling, albeit nobody else may. God sees that I feel empty, although I pretend to be filled. God sees the heart. So how do I keep from walking in the old sin nature? There is only one possible way for me to do this. And it is something that today the Word of God says would be lacking. In the end times there will be a famine. Famines will come and pestilence. There is not just famine, physical famine, albeit yes, in the end times, and we are what the Bible calls in the end times now. Every major scholar agrees with this. We are in the end times. Israel is back to being Israel. That is end times. So, how do I walk? I walk by the richness of the Word of God. How do I pick up a cross? You see, if I try to pick up a cross in and of myself, I will never do it. If I try to, as an ascetic, deny myself, simply saying no to my flesh every time it creeps up, it's just going to keep creeping up. I'm never going to really experience a victory, and I can practice 1 John 1:9 and confess my sins all day long. And certainly if I do sin, I am to do that, but I can do that all day long and still never get that experiential victory where that weakness does not plague me. How do I do it? Well, I do it by the Word of God. I do it by faith. How do I pick up a cross? The cross is not something I can pick up. The cross is something that is produced in me when I walk in faith related to the Word of God. The Word of God says, you have been, past tense, done deal, crucified with Christ. It's already a done deal. I don't have to pick up a cross per se. I have to realize, believe, reckon myself dead indeed unto self and alive unto Christ. Why? Because it's a done deal. You have been, in the past, crucified with Christ. The blood of the Lamb was shed before the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. God finished, and then, after He finished, because that's the last thing He said, it is finished. After He finished, we started. We started with the blood being shed because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. See, I don't have to strive. I receive. How do I walk with God? How do I have fellowship with Him? How do I experience His life in me? You see, that's the whole point of picking up the cross. It's not so that I'm dead to self, but it's so that I'm alive unto Him. Jesus didn't stay in the grave. He was there only for 3 days and then He rose again. A lot of believers are staying in the grave because they think that's what picking up a cross means. Okay, I'll constantly all day long deny myself. But you know what? Only for 3 days. And then came resurrection life. We are as believers to experience on a moment by moment resurrection life. And there is only one possible way to experience the resurrection life. It's to be the recipients of that life through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, imparting the Word of God to the human spirit, whereby the human spirit transforms the heart of a man with the heart of God. See, this is what it means that we had an old stony heart and it was given to us new as a new heart. You see, the law was not evil. The law was not wrong. It was just found in the wrong place. A believer who tries to live by the law is keeping the law outwardly. But the Word of God says that the believer who lives by the grace of God, who lets God transform his heart through His mercy and His love and His sweetness and the fellowship of His Word, that believer will have the heart, the law written inwardly. And then living before God as a believer ought to live will not be a struggle. When I am a recipient of the rich preaching, because, and it has to be preaching, by the way, certainly reading and personal edification is important. I'm not trying to do away with that at all. But faith comes by hearing. And if I don't have faith, I cannot please Him. Faith comes by hearing. Romans chapter 10. Faith comes by hearing. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. How can they hear unless there is a preacher? Faith comes by hearing. So how do I walk in the Spirit? By faith. How do I walk by faith? By receiving the Word of God daily. The manna was given to be eaten fresh every day. And God warned Israel, don't eat old manna. It will go bad. You cannot eat old manna. You have to eat manna fresh every day. You want to know how to walk in the Spirit? Walk after having received. Receive the Word of God. Simply receive the Word of God. What happens if you fail? Receive the mercy of God. By the way, you're going to fail. I will 100% guarantee it. The Word of God says you will fail. John in 1 John said, when you fail, if your heart condemns you. Not whether or not you fail. No, it's going to happen. So remember this. When you do fail, because you are a human being, you will fail. Let's just get that straight. You're still human. You're not God. You're still human. You're not in heaven. You're human on earth. You are going to fail. When it happens, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You see, people will say, I'm not going to fail. I'm not going to commit adultery. I'm not going to murder somebody. I'm not going to go out there and do things that are wrong. Maybe. But whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. When's the last time that you got worried or nervous or scared or not trusted God? You failed. Don't be condemned. God is greater than your heart. See, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Mercy comes in and takes care of my failure. What does grace do? Does grace say, oh, it's okay to fail? No. Grace is my provision to get me out of the failure. See, the law never got me out of a failure. The law strengthened the sin in me. And though the law may have been good and condemning, it never got me out of a single failure. It just strengthened that part that is in my mortal body in Romans chapter 7. It just strengthened it so that I would sin again. But by grace I am transformed. For example, how is a believer transformed? How is my conscience cleansed? How is my thinking changed? By grace, by the blood of the Lamb in Revelation 1:5, we're washed from our sins, plural, all of our sins. The blood that was shed before the foundation of the world in Revelation 13:8, before the foundation of the world. See, sin was never the issue. The provision was given before the sin came, because the sin, albeit not from God, from my own free volition, but in His foreknowledge, God knew it would come. And so He gave me a provision before I even got started. See, the work is finished. It is finished. It's a finished work. And it's always been finished. On the fourth day, God wrote the gospel in the stars. He gave the stars for signs and for seasons. This is not talking about seasons of the year. Peter Fleming has an excellent book called God's Voice in the Stars, where he discusses this, how the entire gospel was actually written in the stars. Today's perversion, astrology, is nowhere near, doesn't even remotely resemble the way that the stars used to be read by people like Daniel, who taught in Persia, who established a Bible college in Persia, so that the wise men knew how to read the stars because they went to Daniel's Bible college. I don't know if that's what it was called. Can you see it now? Daniel's Bible college. Classes starting in September. Yeah. But this is how they knew. because they knew how to properly read the stars the way that God had designed it, because He put the gospel in those stars. I always found it fascinating. This is one of my favorite things, is that there is a huge conglomeration of galactic clusters called the Great Attractor that appears to be the center of the universe. And everything in the universe is being drawn toward that Great Attractor because it is the greatest structure in the universe. And the only way to see the Great Attractor from our vantage point is through the Southern Cross. We have to look directly through the Southern Cross to see the Great Attractor. You see, when I look through the cross, when I start at the cross, a lot of people think that the whole point of life is to pick up their cross and follow Him. No, no, following Him starts at the cross. You see, I started at the cross. I don't finish at the cross. That's the beginning of my life. That's not the end of it. That's just the point where God says, go. See, I find my life at the cross. How do I live as a Spirit-filled believer? How do I avoid living in the old sin nature? Through the Word of God. And it can only be through the Word of God, because there is no good thing in me. All my righteousness is in Isaiah 64 as filthy rags. There is no good thing in me. How am I going to produce a cross in my own life? How am I going to pick it up? I have a sick head, a faint heart, no good thing in me. I'm really doing really well here today, aren't I? Okay, go ahead, knock yourself out. Do something like mighty. No good thing in me. What shall I render God, David said, for all the things He has done for me? I will drink the cup of His deliverance. I will receive more. You know what I'm going to do for God? I'm going to let Him give me something. See, the one thing that God didn't have was someone to give to. And so He made us. You know, my imperfection is one of the greatest blessings I have. Because it is because of that imperfection that I can receive grace. Grace is favor from God that cannot be deserved. So when I fail, and the fact that I am a sinner, the fact that there is no good thing in me, is what qualifies me to receive God's grace. The person who tries to establish their own righteousness in themselves is actually someone who is saying, I am disqualifying myself from God's grace. I would much rather, albeit not intentionally, and God forbid I do, but I will, in some way or other, I would much rather be a sinner who receives grace than a righteous man who does not. Because I have no righteousness anyway. I have no righteousness apart from the righteousness that God has given me. How do I walk in the Spirit? Through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit imparting that Word of God to the human spirit, to whereby it transforms the human soul. There are five parts of the soul. There's the mind, there's the emotions, the consciousness, the self-consciousness, and the volition. So where the Word of God through the fellowships through the Spirit with the human Spirit imparts to the soul the life of God. And as the life of God is imparted to the soul, then the life of God becomes the experiential reality in the outward manifestation of a believer's life. In other words, it is real. It becomes real. It's no longer pretense. It is real. This is what God said when He said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. and it becomes real. I think too often we believers try to live a make-believe life and call it Christianity, but it is not. Or we can call it that, but we're only fooling ourselves. And on the inside, we know that's the case. But we still keep pretending. But we don't need to keep pretending. We need to keep receiving. And if I keep receiving, then God will keep imparting. And if God is imparting, then I have His life. Because that's what He imparts.